Hello, and welcome to Awards Daily TV's Water Cooler Podcast. I'm your regular host, Clarence Moy, and this is another entry in our ongoing series of Emmy Contender podcasts. Today, I'm talking to the Academy Award-winning star of Netflix's The Haunting of Hill House, Timothy Hutton, who, of course, won an Oscar for his brilliant performance in Ordinary People. Here, Timothy talks about what drew him into this dramatic horror property and what it's like to win an Oscar so early in his career. He also talks about the series' arguably best episode, Two Storms. So kick back and have a listen as I talk to Timothy Hutton about Netflix's The Haunting of Hill House. And be sure to subscribe to the Water Cooler Podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts so that you can listen to even more interviews with Emmy-contending stars. Hi, Tim.
Hello. Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Excellent. So I had just one general question before we get started into talking about Hill House. And that first question is, so you're obviously one of the youngest actors to win an Academy Award, of course, for, you know, your great work in Ordinary People. You know, thinking back on that, what does that do to an actor at that age? Like, how do you move on from that professionally and sort of guide a career when you've sort of hit that very high pinnacle so early on?
Well, I guess at the time I sort of felt like it was important to not associate anything having to do with, you know, the Academy Awards or other awards shows or things that happen for Ordinary People to associate it with anything other than that movie. Mm-hmm. So that it kind of represented a time and a movie and a specific thing rather than anything beyond that. In other words, at the time I thought, okay, this was really an amazing experience. The making of the movie and everything that happened, the recognition it had, and all of that. But now it's time to really forget about all that. Recall it from time to time if you want, but kind of move on and understand that the next thing you do you've never done before, and approach that as if it's a completely new thing, which it is, and nothing else you did before matters, other than hopefully a certain amount of experience, and hopefully those experiences will keep growing and accumulating, and kind of feed you for the current things you might be working on in the future. So that was sort of my thinking behind it, and not to not have it be something that has any association other than with a certain time and a certain place.
Absolutely, that makes a lot of sense. So flashing forward to Hill House and a family drama of a very different kind. You know, it's arguably a family drama with, you know, obviously horror undertones and obviously sometimes overtones. Are you particularly drawn to darker material, or was it the family drama aspect that appealed to you when you were looking at the project?
I don't know. I guess I'm drawn to, you know, stories where characters go through a lot of things, and you as the audience, you kind of watch them try to navigate themselves out of and into other situations that are hopefully a little easier to live with. I conflict within family and conflict within relationships it always provides sort of interesting storytelling. So I'm certainly drawn to that, and I thought this was a great way to explore a very fractured family. Mm-hmm. In this world that Mike Flanagan created.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think that's best illustrated in episode 6, which is Two Storms, where the family gathers for the first time in the modern set story during the funeral home. It's a great episode. It's got great work in it, including yours. Talk to me about filming that such an emotionally challenging episode.
Well, that was an incredible episode to film. We were all very aware of episode 6 from the very first day of filming. We knew that there was going to come a point where we were all going to take a break. And while we were away from the studio, Mike Flanagan and the technicians working on the story were going to create the set and create the lighting effects and do rehearsals with stand-ins and really map out how those shots were going to be done from all in real time, because nothing, you know, for example, the chandelier falling at the end of one of the shots as a transitional device into the next part of that episode. Those are all things that had to be figured out, engineered, rehearsed. And so then we all came back to the studio, and then we started rehearsing for a week. And it was really quite an incredible experience for all of us to rehearse it, and then knowing that we were going to be doing, you know, 19, 20 minute long takes without interruption, with a lot of dialogue and a lot of movement, a lot of blocking in and out of rooms. And you have camera operators, and you have lighting technicians, and you have creating weather circumstances, you know, thunder and lightning and rain and all of that. So it was a very exciting episode to approach, and then incredibly exciting as well to film.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And to, you know, in the midst of all of that, I mean, I guess having that sort of that real, very convincing set sort of helps put you into the mindset of where these characters are, and, you know, such a somber atmosphere. I mean, it just, the emotion in that episode just really rings true. It was, you know, it was very shocking in how well it worked. Particularly, you know, given it's not overtly horrifying. You know, there aren't that many jump scares as there are in the other. It's just the focus on the drama is what I love about it so much.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's it comes at the right place. You know, there's 5 episodes before it that have some major jump scares and some major, you know, disturbing things that the audience experiences. The character's experiencing. And so that all happens, and you each episode is specific to each character. Like every character has their own episode. So leading up to episode 6, as you said, everything kind of comes together, and the father, Hugh Crane, kind of comes back into their lives, and it's hard for everybody to be a family again. There's lots of you know, damage from the past, and there's that they've all kind of inflicted on each other, but especially the father. I mean, he kind of abandoned them, and so that episode really kind of shows all that, and it was really interesting to film for all of us.
So, you know, talking about the emotional damage of the past and reflecting on the future, they're all, you know, quote unquote, haunted people in the future, not just by actual ghosts, but, you know, emotionally haunted by the events of the past. You know, talking about Hugh specifically, what do you think is more haunting to him as a person, the death of his wife, and how, you know, all the circumstances around that, or sort of abandoning the kids and sort of the realization of the long-term damage that experience probably had on them?
Well, you know, I think that it was very hard on him, the loss of his wife. That was a very sudden traumatic event. The other one was sort of, you know, an accumulation over years, a longer period of time, of his own doing, of abandoning, because he just simply couldn't cope with the guilt and the, you know, taking responsibility for things that happened and maintaining those relationships. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was the one that needed to do it. There was a lot of betrayal in the past, and there was a lot of different types of damage and anger and unresolved situations and a lot of mystery, a lot of things that only he knows the answer to, and he chooses not to be present. He leaves. So that was equally as hard for him, not having a relationship with his kids anymore, only it was more gradual, less sudden.
Right. So the role of Hugh is obviously split between the two eras, between you and Henry Thomas. How do you as actors, you and Henry, work together to make sure that, you know, obviously there's a physical difference between the two of you, but I would assume that you would want to have some sort of fluidity between the characters. How did you ensure that that happened as actors?
Yeah, that was something that was important to all of us, Mike Flanagan, Henry Thomas, and myself. And we had a meeting before we started filming, and three of us sat in a room and we talked about Hugh Crane, and Henry and I asked Mike questions about him and about the script, and we talked about different things that could provide continuity, both visual and emotional and behavioral continuity with the character. And we came up with, you know, some different ideas, and it was really a great meeting. And you know, everything from how Hugh views each of the kids specifically, and to picking a kind of odd-looking red corduroy blazer that Henry would wear in one scene early, and I would wear the same blazer. Somehow it stayed in Hugh's possession all those years. He wears it in episode 5, Mel's wedding. Things like that, and it was really fun to kind of map it out, and it was also kind of interesting to figure out how the character shifted all those years away, and after all the traumatic events that he witnessed and participated in, how that would change him from the younger Hugh played by Henry. And when he shows up in episode 5, and then you really get to see it in episode 6, how he's kind of a tormented, broken, uncertain, almost ghost of the earlier Hugh. Mm-hmm.
So given that difference between those two eras of the life, between Henry Thomas's performance and your performance, did you have to, as an actor, work out sort of what happened to Hugh during those missing years where he wasn't connected to his kids?
Yeah, that's the fun part. That's the interesting part, you know, creating the kind of the backstory and imagining scenes that you don't get to see, and imagining events that you don't get to see, and how that shaped him, I just sort of imagined that he went and lived in Florida and, you know, barely left his house and did some construction work here and there, and some, you know, house painting here and there. And, you know, every once in a while would write a letter to his kids or maybe get on the phone with them, but really didn't have much of a relationship, and didn't really see many people, and just kind of like checked out. And when he reemerges and wants to be a part of their lives again, all he wants is just to be useful. He wants to be useful to them and help them understand what happened. And he doesn't have the skill to do that. He doesn't really have the tools to do that, and they get very frustrated. And all of that was really interesting to play. I also liked going to watch when they were doing scenes with Henry Thomas. I wanted to be there, even if I wasn't working that day, I wanted to be there just so that I could kind of watch Henry and have what he was doing as a memory, kind of put it in the memory bank of who this person Hugh Crane was.
So talk to me about your working relationship with Mike Flanagan.
Oh, well, it was great. I mean, from the beginning, he was, you know, it's really wonderful to work with, talk with about the character, share ideas with. He had, you know, very solid ideas. Obviously, he wrote the scripts based on the book, and he was very keen to know what we were all thinking, and everyone had ideas about, the characters and how they might be in scenes. And working with somebody who's so passionate about the story they're telling is it can be very infectious. You know, just you know, kind of everyone, you know, is responds to that in a really positive way. So, you know, he was great. I mean, you know, he wrote every episode along with these other wonderful writers, and he directed every episode, and it was all very carefully put together.
Awesome. Well, Tim, thank you so much for the time, and best of luck to you in this Emmy season. And I really enjoyed the performance, and of course, Hill House as a series.
Thanks a lot, man. Thank you.
Take care.
Okay, see ya.